is presently 50 kilowatts hours per month, but Electricity and Energy Minister Hotshintshe Ramakopa informed Parliament that the department is currently assessing the benefit to enhance support for low income and at risk households, predominantly indigent households. Okay, so let's delve into this discussion. We've got online energy expert and analyst Chris Yellen. Chris, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you and the listeners.
Thanks for joining us. Chris, well, it sounds good for us now to look at from 50 kilowatts to 150. That's literally tripling it. I smell the elections coming up. I hope this is not all just election talk.
Yeah, me too. You know, one thing I can say is that 50 kilowatt hours of electricity per month is very, very little. And really does not achieve the objectives of poverty alleviation to any significant extent. And to make matters worse, the money that is allocated, by National Treasury to municipalities for free basic electricity, this very limited amount of electricity indeed, about 80% of it never reaches the poor and is effectively used by municipalities. I use the word misappropriated by municipalities to run their own businesses. In other words, the municipalities are effectively taking money that was intended as a poverty relief measure for indigent households and using it for their business needs. And I am really worried that simply putting up the volume of free basic electricity by three times is really just increasing the amount of misappropriated money by municipalities by three times. Yes, some of it will reach that 20% that are currently benefiting from free basic electricity, but 80% of indigent households are not benefiting from it. So just putting up the amount of kilowatt hours free basic electricity is really just a way of transferring money to municipalities as opposed to transferring money to the poor.
Now, hang on, Chris. If we're transferring money to the municipalities instead of transferring that benefit to the indigent households that is being referenced by our minister, it essentially comes down to what we know already. How many of our municipalities have not incurred debt, literally into hundreds of millions? In fact, if we combine all of that, the sum total, it takes us into billions that they owe National Treasury. So if we're saying from 50 kWh to 150 kWh free electricity, someone has got to pay for this year. Yeah, I smell the fact that the workhorses, the middle income bracket, that's going to be paying for this again.
Well, it's the taxpayer that's paying for it, because National Treasury gives the money to municipalities for the purpose of dispersing it to the indigent in the form of free basic electricity. But they don't. They keep 80% of it. But the money from National Treasury is still transferred to the municipalities. It's misappropriated. But where does the money come from? It comes from those people that pay tax. There's no other source of money that the government has. So it comes from the people who pay tax. Now, the people who pay tax is basically everybody, but some people may pay more tax than others. So, you know, VAT on goods is paid by everybody, rich and poor. There are a few exempted items, but VAT is collected from everybody. So it's not true to say that tax is only connected from middle and upper income, but it is true, for example, income tax. The vast majority of income tax comes from working people, middle class people, and wealthy people, because poor people with low incomes don't pay income tax. Company tax comes from companies. So, yeah, the bottom line is, where does the money come from? It comes from tax. Where does the tax come from? The population of South Africa.
So this jump then from 50 kWh per month to 150, you literally times that by three. It's then actually not good news.
Well, look, I would be really, I do believe that 50 kilowatt hours as a poverty relief measure is completely inadequate. And 150 to 200 kilowatt hours a month would make a significant difference, you know, in terms of poverty alleviation. But if the money is just going to be misappropriated, then I'm very strongly against it. We need to fix the problem. There are two problems. The one problem is making sure that indigent people receive the poverty relief that is due to them.
How are we going to track this? Chris, how are we going to track that? Because this is serious. This is very serious.
Yeah, of course, this is absolutely serious. This is gets to the very heart of the problems. Hmm. Look, there are a number of ways. For example, and I'm not saying that this mechanism that I'm going to tell you about is free of fraud and corruption, because it's not free, but it's perhaps a lot better than what is happening with free basic electricity at the moment, where 80% goes astray. And that is to use the SASA grant system. Mm. SASA grants are given, and there's a mechanism by which money is distributed to indigent households. And it basically works. There may be some leakage, yes, I grant you that. But it basically works. That would be a much more effective way of distributing money as a poverty relief mechanism to the poor. I'm also of the view, why should we decide to give free basic electricity? There are many customers, especially the poorest of the poor, that don't even have an electricity connection, so they can't ever get free basic electricity. So they are being discriminated against. They can't receive free basic electricity. They're not even connected to the grid. So it would be better to give those people what they need, some money to buy food, to buy candles, to buy, you know, the basics of life. So for me, question number one, is electricity as a poverty relief mechanism the most effective way of getting poverty relief to people that need it? I'm not sure that is the case. But if we're going to do it, we've got to make sure that what we are going to give out as grants to indigent people actually gets to them. Now, this is where smart meters come in, because when a smart meter can actually be used to transfer electricity credit directly to the meter at the customer's house. In other words, the money doesn't go through the municipality anymore. It can be downloaded, some free credit into the meter, it's directly, without having this money to pass through the municipal's grubby fingers, because they are the one that are clutching at this money and misappropriating it. So by a rollout of smart meters is one way of getting money into the electricity meter without going through the municipalities. However, I must caution that smart meters, there's a rollout program underway, but it's going to take many, many years to complete. This is not something that's going to be completed in 6 months or a year. So we just got to be realistic. There are millions of existing prepayment meters out there which need to be changed because they're outdated, they're not smart, you cannot do credit transfers to them, they rely on a manual token transfer where there's a lot of fraud taking place. So the rollout of smart meters is one solution. But as I said, maybe we should actually decide amongst ourselves that giving people free basic electricity is, first of all, discriminatory against people that don't have an electricity connection, and those are the poorest of the poor. Hmm. But I mean, why should we tell poor people that they, you know, they're going to get a certain amount of free electricity? Maybe they don't have a connection. Maybe they want to buy food. Maybe they want to send their children to school and it costs some money, or they have to buy some books for school and things like this. So what I'm saying is, it seems to me very presumptuous of us to think that we can tell poor people what kind of poverty relief they really need. I think many of them would prefer to buy some food.
Chris, in the closing 3 minutes, now today's Tech Tuesday on PM Drive, I want to link it to our theme, and we're talking about our grid and the fact that government is now talking about literally threefold, from 50 kWh to 150 kWh of free electricity for the low-income households, right? Again, we recline on the conversation. How much of alternative energy sources have we explored and invested in sufficiently to reduce reliance on our grid, number one? And then number two, we are seeing now a shift in transport is concerned, particularly with the electronic vehicles and now beginning to enter the markets in South Africa. We still require infrastructure also to be upgraded from that perspective. Can you touch on those two issues?
Okay, let's start off with electric vehicles, because this is something South Africa is very, very significantly behind in the rollout of electric vehicles. I'm talking about we are one of the slowest in the world in the rollout of electric vehicles, and it reflects badly on South Africa. The point is, I think I asked myself, why is this the case? Because there's a clear economic case for electric vehicles, very clear at the moment. And it's getting better and better as the diesel and petrol price go up as a result of the fuel crisis in the Middle East. So what is actually holding us back? To some extent, we have this industry manufacturing internal combustion engine cars in South Africa, and this is like a huge vested interest. So they want to slow down, the rollout of electric vehicles because it's effectively a competitor of theirs. But the reality is, it's happening around the world, and it's even starting to happen in South Africa. And at some point, tipping point is reached, and it's going to happen much faster than it is at the moment. But you're right. Of course, there's technology constraints, there's rollout of infrastructure constraints, charging stations along the highways, along the roads, in the municipal areas, etc. And that is going to constrain things. But there is some advantage in being a late mover, as opposed to being a first mover. When you're a late mover, you can rely on prices that have come down because of massive economies of scale around the world. We don't have to learn the hard lessons the hard way. Other countries have been there. They've learned the hard lessons. They're starting to do what is right. And we can be a late mover and take advantage of being a late mover. But I do think we have to move on this now. On the other issue, where does the money come from for free basic electricity? It comes from the taxpayer. If you're going to put up the free basic electricity by three times, it means the cost is going to go up by three times. But I'm more worried about making sure that the money goes to where it should go.
Yeah, indeed.
And that for me is the critical thing. I see no benefit in increasing the free basic electricity three times and the cost thereof by three times, if it's going to simply result in three times as much money being misappropriated. That would be a disaster as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. Then we should just shelve these talks and perhaps just put it down to an electioneering campaign. Chris, let's leave it on that note. Chris Yalland, the energy analyst. Thanks so much for your time and PM Drive.